shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read in Joshua chapter 15. We will read from verse 16. Joshua 15, verse 16. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Here is a woman named Aksa who was just married, and before she goes off to her new home, she has the opportunity to make a request of her father, Caleb. Caleb, her father, had already given her a gift, but this didn't keep her back from making her request. It was an argument. Caleb had given her the one, and she is therefore ready to ask for the other. And so believers should learn from this, that as the Lord has given us an inheritance in Christ, he will surely give us all that we need. And we should go to him for a blessing. Yes, the Lord promises to give good things to them that ask him. He calls us to ask, and we shall receive. Just as a father is willing to give good things to his children, the Lord assures us that he is willing to give good things to his children, to give his people all that they need, even the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as Aksa prayed or asked her father for a blessing, even springs of water, so we should be praying to God that he would give us living water. He would give us his Holy Spirit. We have here first Othniel's conquest, and then Aksa's request, and finally Caleb's bequest or gift. But we can look at it as three pictures or three illustrations. And this is how we would look at this portion of God's word this evening together. First of all, the relationship with Christ, as seen in the marriage of Othniel and Aksa. And secondly, the request of the believer, as seen in the request of Aksa. And finally, in the third place, the readiness of the father, as seen in the willingness of Caleb to give the springs of water to Aksa. Yes, God is ready to give good things, to give good gifts to his children. And he is ready to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. First of all, the relationship with Christ, and secondly, the request of the believer, and thirdly, the readiness of the Father. The relationship with Christ. In verse 13, we read that Caleb has conquered Hebron. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunne, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And he has conquered Hebron and the surrounding area. And this land was given to him as a reward for his faithfulness as one of the spies that, along with Joshua, brought a correct report of the land. The other 10 spies brought back an evil report. But Caleb and Joshua believed that God would give them the promised land, and he did. And here they are conquering this land. And here's a portion of land that is now given to Caleb as a reward for his faithfulness to God. And Joshua had met with him in chapter 14, and you remember the very familiar and very precious words that Caleb says, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And then in verse 11 of chapter 14, he says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." God had strengthened him and preserved him all these 45 years. Even in his old age, he is ready to do work for the Lord. Verse 12, he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Caleb was trusting in God, and God helped him. Yes, God fulfilled his promise. And we read in chapter 15 and verse 14, "And Caleb drove thence," he drove them out, "the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Anahim, Hyman and Talmai, the children of Anak." So these were the three chiefs of the Anakim race. And Caleb had the courage and the strength from the Lord to drive them out. He conquered that place. But there was still more work to be done. And he was going from there to Debir. Verse 15, "And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer." And Kirjath-Sefer apparently means city of the book. It was probably a place where public registers were kept. But this time, Caleb inspires his relative to perform this feat and conquer this land. And so he says in verse 16, "Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife." So he says, whoever is going to come to this place and defeat the enemy, I will reward him, Caleb is saying. I will give him my own daughter to be his wife. He can marry my daughter. Well, perhaps Caleb had already had somebody in mind, and perhaps it was Othniel. And perhaps Othniel himself had showed interest in Caleb's daughter. We don't know that, but it seems likely. Well, Othniel, who was later to become a judge in Israel and defeat the enemy after the people had backslidden and went after idols. We read about that in the book of Judges, I think chapter 3. Well, Othniel, a young man, is stirred up to bravery, and that's what Caleb was intending to do, to stir up the young man to go forward to fight the Canaanites. And so he does, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. So Othniel was probably the nephew of Caleb. There are others who think that he was the younger brother of Caleb himself, but it's not as clear, depending on the order of the words. But if Othniel was a brother to Caleb, perhaps he was a relative. The word brother would sometimes be used in a general way as a relative to the person. It could have been a cousin. But most people seem to take it as a nephew. It was Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. So Kenaz was the brother of Caleb, and Othniel was the son of Kenaz. So Othniel was the nephew of Caleb. And therefore, this would be a lawful marriage. But you see that Othniel, out of love to Aksa, the daughter of Caleb, goes forward and does battle against the enemy and conquers the city. He takes the city, he conquers it, and he has won his bride. He has Aksa to be his married wife. Isn't this a wonderful picture of Christ's love to his church? Christ was willing to suffer to have his people to be his spiritual bride, the Lamb's wife. God the Father gave to his Son from eternity a people to be his own people. And God the Father appointed Christ to be the Redeemer of his elect. And the Father promised to his Son, Jesus Christ, a great reward on the condition that he would suffer and die for his people. And the reward was this: Christ would be exalted at the right hand of God. He would have universal dominion. And he would have his own people. His own people would be saved. And they would be with him forever and ever. Yes, the Lamb's wife. So just like Othniel went forward to wage war with the enemy and he conquered the city, the Lord Jesus Christ, he waged war against Satan. He conflicted with the enemy. And by laying down his life, he purchased his bride. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the example of Christ for husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. The love of Christ to the church is the pattern of the love that a husband should have to his wife. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He gave himself fully, laying down his life, giving himself to die on the cross. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, we can examine ourselves by that text. Are we among the people who are the bride of Christ? Have we been married to him, united to him by faith? What is the evidence of that? The evidence of a marriage union with Christ will be that we concur with the purpose of Christ. We go along with the reason that he died. Why did he die? To sanctify his people, to redeem them from all iniquity. That's how we know that we are among his people, that we want to be delivered from all iniquity. We want to be sanctified. We're going along with the purpose of Christ. That's how we know. That's the greatest test. It's, as ministers have said, it's a more valid test than seeing your name written in the skies, to have the desire of holiness, that is. This is the seal of God. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's how you know you're one of God's children, that you are the bride of Christ. You desire to be sanctified, cleansed, yielding yourself to Jesus Christ, body and soul. Does that describe us? Do we hate sin? Do we feel a loathsomeness in our souls because of sin, hating it, feeling the bitterness of sin and his holiness? Pleasing Christ, the most important thing to us. Well, then, we have the evidence, strong evidence, that we are the people of Christ. And think of that. Christ loves us. And he was willing, like Jacob, out of love to Rachel, to submit to any terms, as it were, to do anything lawfully, to have his bride. Jacob was willing to serve Laban for 7 long years in order to have Rachel. So Jesus was willing to go to the length of the torments of the cross to have his people, to have you, child of God, that you, believer in Christ, that you who hate sin and crying out for grace to serve Christ, that you would be with him forever and ever in the mansions of heaven. But think of this. This glorious salvation, this wonderful inheritance is offered to you freely. And just as Abraham sent his servant to seek a bride for Isaac, so the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking a bride today. Will it be you, friend? Rebecca had this question put to her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" Rebecca didn't know for sure she would be the bride of Isaac, but the question had to be put, would she consent? Wilt thou go with him? Will you go with Christ? That's the question put to you. If you are willing to have him, he is willing to have you. And then, as it has been put, when the soul consents, when the soul of the person is willing, then the match is made. There's a union between Christ and the soul when the soul, the sinner, is willing to have Christ as his or her Savior, prophet, priest, and king forever. Well, Rebecca said, "I will go." Is that your desire? Are you saying, "I will go"? Well, that was no doubt the answer that Aksa gave. She was ready to go with Othniel. And not only was she willing to go with Othniel, she had a special request to him. And so we come in the second place to consider the request of the believer. In verse 18 we read, "And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field." So the words probably mean that she was making preparations to move to her new home to be with her husband Othniel. And it seems like they were just about to depart. She's already upon the animal, ready to ride off. But she stops and she speaks to her husband Othniel. And she asks about a field that belongs to her father Caleb. She moved him to ask of her father a field. She persuaded or attempted to persuade Othniel to ask Caleb about acquiring a portion of land. But we don't read that Othniel asked Caleb. So what do we make of that? Aksa herself made the request. Well, why didn't Othniel? Perhaps he was reluctant. Perhaps he thought it would be presumptuous. He'd already won so much by his conquest and at least through Aksa, he was gaining a portion of land, and now if he asked for more land, that would be greedy. And so he leaves it to his wife Aksa to ask Caleb. But perhaps a better view is that Othniel had no objection to it, but he felt it was better that Aksa herself makes the request. And so this might illustrate for us that the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. And the reality is Jesus is continually making intercession for his people to his Father. We should be thankful for that. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who knows all our needs and who knows the Father. And he goes to the Father for us continually. But this does not eliminate the need of his people asking the Father themselves. Jesus says in John chapter 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verse 23, "whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." We're to ask the Father in the name of Christ, and we're to be praying. We should ask ourselves this, examine ourselves by this. Are we trusting in Christ as our advocate, and are we praying to the Father in his name? But not only are we to be praying to the Father in the name of Christ, we are to be praying with humility. And that is, we have a picture of that in the fact that Aksa, we read in the middle of verse 18, "And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou?" Here's a picture, a very interesting picture. Aksa and Othniel, are just about to make their departure. She's already saddled upon the beast, but no, she can't go yet. She has a request to make. And it's like Jacob who said, "I'm not going to leave yet, not until I get the blessing. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And that was Aksa. She was going to Caleb, and she's not going to leave yet till she makes her special request. So we need to persevere as well. We need that determination to to not stop praying until we get the blessing. So she gets off the animal, and this is a sign of humility. She's not sitting high and looking down at her father as if she deserves to get the land. She doesn't say, I'm your daughter. I deserve this portion of land. No, she comes down and she shows reverence and submission. Caleb, her father, had the right to say yay or nay. And so she submits to her father in that regard. And we also see other practical instruction here, and Matthew Henry is very helpful on the practical side of things, the submission of Aksa to her husband Othniel. She didn't go to Caleb and ask for this land without first consulting with her own husband about it. So there's practical instruction found in this passage, and you can read Matthew Henry on that if you like. But we're thinking about how it's a picture of ourselves going to the Father in heaven through in the name of Jesus in prayer, earnest prayer, but humble prayer. And though she's humble, we see Caleb very generous. You see his kindness when he asks, "What wouldest thou?" He sees his daughter, he loves her, and he's giving Aksa the opportunity to make a request. Just as the Lord said to the blind men, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And this is what Jesus asks sinners today. What is it that you desire? You come to the house of God, you're coming to the prayer meeting. What were you expecting? You make prayers, at least with your mouths. You say prayers. Well, what is it that you want? If we're rightly exercised, if we're affected by our spiritual needs, then we will be asking for a spiritual blessing. That's what Aksa does. Give me also springs of water. Give me a blessing. We would be asking for living water. We would be asking for the bread of life. We would be praying earnestly for salvation, for eternal life. Are you praying for that, friend? Praying for life, life. As Rachel said to Jacob, and she was being a bit impetuous, she said, "Give me children or else I die." We should be saying, "Give me Christ or else I die." There's no in between. Well, she was praying, Aksa was praying for a blessing, or asking Caleb for a blessing. Verse 19, "Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water." She desires a blessing, and the blessing would be not a benediction, but a blessing in the form of a real gift, springs of water. Of course, she's asking not just for the springs of water, but for the land that has the springs of water. And she says, "For." Now, notice that little word "for." Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. She acknowledges that Caleb, her father, had already given a southland. But that doesn't stop her from asking for more. As we said earlier, this is an argument. We might have thought she would say, "Well, Caleb, my father, has given me this already. How can I possibly ask for more?" No, she makes it the very reason to ask for more. At least she knows that Caleb is generous, and he is her father, and surely she can expect a further blessing from her father. Well, she says, for thou hast given me a southland," and the south stands for the land that is dry. The south is pointing to the heat, the hot and dry weather. And she feels that she can only really make use of it if she has springs of water. How can she make use of this south land, perhaps arid, dry, without the springs of water? So how can we apply that to ourselves? We know that God has given us an inheritance. He's given us everlasting life in Christ. And yet, how can we be useful in what God has given to us without a further blessing of the Holy Spirit? We need grace. We need the fountains of life the water of life flowing into our souls continually. And so here's an argument for us. And we should pray like this. The Lord has given us a southland, as it were. He has given us an inheritance. He has given us eternal life by the precious blood of Christ. Still, we need grace. But the fact that he has given us life in Christ is the reason that we expect grace. And we go to the Lord for that blessing. Because he has already given us the one, we expect him to give us the other. Give us the blessing. Give me the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ died for that reason, that he would sanctify us. He died for that purpose, that he would send us the Spirit. Thou hast given me an inheritance in Christ. Now give me the blessing of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Father in heaven is ready to give such a blessing. In the third place, the readiness of the Father. Caleb was kind-hearted. He wouldn't turn down his daughter's request. Aksa was his own daughter. And God has his own children. We sang, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The Lord cares for his people, and the Lord is ready to give them good things. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The Lord Jesus reminds us of that in Luke chapter 11, that just as a father is ready to give his children good things, so how much more the Father in heaven is ready to give us good things. He says in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Think of that. A father is not going to mock his children and give them the very opposite of what they request. Neither did Caleb. Caleb didn't send Aksa away and say, go fend for yourself, or I'm not going to give you springs of water, I'm going to give you a polluted pool. It was nothing of the sort. He gave her what she requested, and out of the kindness of his heart, in a natural sense at least, to his daughter. Well, Caleb was a sinner like us. He had to struggle against selfishness just like we do, but still he was very willing to give to his children. And that's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. You struggle with evil, and yet you're still so willing to give to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Your heavenly Father has no evil disposition to struggle against. No, he is holy, and he is good. And he is therefore ready, without any inhibitions, without any grudging, to give good things to his children. He is not cruel so as to sting us. He is not hardened so as to mock us. He is ready to give us good things. This is for our comfort. Jesus is explaining to us in pictures that we can see. We can't imagine a father giving to his son a scorpion when his son is asking for something good to eat. No, and God will not mock us and be cruel to us and give us a sting and a curse when we ask him for bread and for grace. He promises to give the Holy Spirit. He says, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36, 27. And that's a promise we should plead, as well as the promise of the Savior himself in Luke 11. He is ready. The Father is ready to give us good things. He is ready to give us the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't we be praying earnestly in faith and hope and encouragement for the gift of the Holy Spirit? So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the Nether Springs. Of course, Nether means lower. It was probably a mountain slope that had springs on the higher ground and springs on the lower ground. And the Lord Himself, the Father in heaven, gives us, as it were, the upper springs and the lower springs, in the sense that when we are low, we need the lower springs. When we're feeling dejected and tempted to discouragement, the Lord gives us the lower springs to support us and lift us up. Or when we have higher duties and we're climbing the mountain, well, the Lord gives us the higher springs. He gives us grace to overcome. For our ups and our downs in every experience, the higher springs, the nether springs of the influences of the Holy Spirit, the Father is graciously supplying our need. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Yes, the Father knows our needs. We should be going to him in prayer. Abba, Father. He has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father. He will not leave us barren and empty. He will provide for all our needs, giving us wisdom, giving us help for our infirmities, and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He will not always chide nor keep anger forever. He will not allow us to faint. In the dry, parched, barren land, he will give us comfort. For he says, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. And what God has given us as parents, we pray earnestly for our children, that they would have the Holy Spirit also, and they would grow up, as we just quoted that verse, springing up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. The seed of God's children would be established in the earth. Well, in closing, perhaps we should chide ourselves a little for our lack of prayer. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Comparatively, it was nothing. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So let us ask in faith, believingly. Let us pray perseveringly, pray with humility, pray with boldness. Let us ask using arguments. Thou hast given me a Southland, now give me springs of water. If the Lord has given us salvation by Christ, will he not give us the blessing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, if the Lord has given us the one, he will give us the other. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Well, finally, have you not come to Christ? Are you not in that marriage relationship with Christ? Well, you should ask for what he offers. He offers this marriage relationship. It's the proposal in the gospel. He gives himself to you. So you're not only to ask for what is offered, you're to take what is offered. He offers to be your spiritual husband. He says, I will be your God. I will be your Savior. He will even give you his Holy Spirit. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23, you say, how can I come? I need grace to come. He says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Yes, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the fools, the simple, those who are ready to hate knowledge. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. He offers himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He offers himself in Christ as the man, Christ Jesus. Wilt thou go with this man? You say, well, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Father gives the Holy Spirit. I don't know if he's my Father. Jesus says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So ask, and you shall receive. Come, Jesus will not turn you away. Ask for the living water. Ask for the blessing, for the Holy Spirit. This is a blessing indeed, and he will not deny that request. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us pray. Jeremy, would you pray? We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 87. Psalm 87 from verse 1. Upon the hills of holiness he his foundation sets. God more than Jacob's dwellings all delights in Zion's gates. Things glorious are said of thee, thou city of the Lord. Rahab and Babel, I to those that know me will record. Behold, even Tyrus, and with it the land of Palestine, and likewise Ethiopia, this man was born therein. And it of Zion shall be said, this man and that man there was born, and he that is most high himself shall establish her. When God the people writes, he'll count that this man born was there. There be that sing and play, and all my wellsprings in thee are. Psalm 87, from verse 1, James Campbell, would you sing? Upon the hills of holiness he his foundation sets.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.